Ever get this weird feeling like your cells are throwing a party and you weren't invited? Well, buckle up, because today we're diving deep into the world of somatic mutations, those sneaky genetic changes happening inside you right now. It's not just about the genes your parents passed down. This is about how your DNA is actually a dynamic, ever-changing landscape.
And what's particularly mind-blowing is that you are significantly genetically different from your parents. About 100 mutations different, to be precise. That's evolution at work, folks. We often picture DNA as this fixed blueprint, but it's more like a living, breathing entity, constantly adapting and responding to its environment.
100 mutations. Okay, you definitely have my attention. So we're talking about these somatic mutations popping up throughout our lives. What kind of things can cause them?
Everything from the sun's rays to the occasional replication hiccup when your cells divide. Most of the time, our cells are amazing at patching up these errors, but sometimes those changes stick around, and that's where things get really interesting.
Okay, let's unpack that. We've got these mutations happening. Sometimes they stick around. What makes them so important in the grand scheme of things?
Well, they hold the key to understanding everything, from why we're each unique to the complexities of diseases like cancer.
Cancer. Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. It's like our own cells can turn against us. That seems a little rough.
It's a matter of perspective. Think of cancer as a kind of cellular rebellion, where one cell goes rogue. It picks up a somatic mutation that gives it a survival advantage, allowing it to multiply uncontrollably.
So it's like a chain reaction, but with cells.
Precisely. These rogue cells carrying that advantageous mutation can outcompete the healthy cells, leading to what we know as cancer.
That makes sense. But it also seems a little random. Why do some people get cancer while others don't, even if they have similar lifestyles or family histories?
That's where the interplay of inherited genes and these acquired somatic mutations comes into play. Take retinoblastoma, for example, a type of eye cancer. You might inherit a faulty RB1 gene, increasing your risk, but it often takes a second hit, a somatic mutation in that same gene within an eye cell, to actually trigger the disease.
So it's this double whammy, a combination of nature and nurture at the cellular level that can tip the scales. This is fascinating, but it also makes me wonder if our DNA is constantly changing, how much of it is really us?
Now, that is a question worth exploring. And to understand that, we need to delve into the fascinating world of structural variants,
Yeah.
changes that go beyond just a few letters in the DNA code.
Structural variants, you're gonna have to break that down for me. We've been talking about these tiny mutations, like changing a letter here and there in the DNA code, but structural variants sound way more
Are we
dramatic.
talking about like entire chapters getting rearranged in our DNA book? That's a fantastic way to put it. We're talking about genes flipping, duplicating, even relocating to different parts of the genome. These rearrangements, it turns out, are more common than we once thought.
Okay, so my DNA is basically playing a game of genetic Tetris. And I thought I was good at Tetris. This is making my head spin a bit. How often are these structural variants happening, and what kind of impact do they have on us?
Hold on to your hat because each person is estimated to have about 2,000 structural variants in their genome.
2,000. You're saying my DNA is more unique than I even realized.
Exactly. And these structural variants aren't just messing around. They can influence everything from our physical traits to our susceptibility to certain diseases.
So it's not just about the individual letters of our DNA, but how those letters are organized and rearranged over time. It's like comparing a short story to a novel. They might use the same alphabet, but the arrangement of words and chapters creates entirely different stories.
And some of the most intriguing characters in these stories are the jumping genes, or transposons, as they're formally known.
Jumping genes. Okay, now you're speaking my language. That sounds straight out of science fiction. How do genes just decide to jump around our DNA?
It does sound like something out of a movie, but it's very real. The discovery of transposons actually earned Barbara McClintock a Nobel Prize back in 1983.
A Nobel Prize. Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more about these jumping genes.
For a long time, we believed our genomes were pretty static. But McClintock's research turned that idea on its head. She showed that some DNA sequences can actually move around within the genome.
So our DNA isn't just this fixed blueprint. It's more like a bustling city with these transposons hopping from one location to another.
Precisely. It's a dynamic and constantly changing environment. Now, these jumps aren't always disruptive. Sometimes transposons land harmlessly in non-coding regions of our DNA.
Non-coding regions, so like the spaces between words in a sentence, not changing the meaning, just hanging out.
You got it. But other times they can land smack dab in the middle of a gene.
And that's when things get interesting.
That's when things get very interesting. Imagine them as those little cousins who come over and playfully mess with your stuff when you're not looking. Their antics can disrupt gene function or even change how genes are regulated, turning them on or off at the wrong times.
Sounds like my kind of party. So how do these jumping genes actually work? Is there a method to their madness?
Well, there are actually two main types of transposons, each with its own way of shaking things up. Type I transposons are the copy and paste masters of the genome. They create an RNA copy of themselves, which then gets converted back into DNA and inserted elsewhere.
Sneaky and efficient. Double the transposons, double the fun. Right.
Then we have the type 2 transposons.
Yeah.
The cut and paste editors. They have special sequences at their ends that let them recognize, remove themselves from one spot, and insert themselves somewhere else.
So we've got copy and paste transposons and cut and paste transposons. It's like a giant DNA dance party in there. But what's the point of all this jumping around?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Remember how we talked about mutations being the fuel for evolution? Well, transposons play a big role in that. By shuffling things around, they increase genetic diversity. Sometimes they disrupt genes. Sometimes they create new regulatory elements. It's all part of this grand evolutionary experiment.
It's like they're saying, hey, evolution, we're here to stir the pot and see what happens.
And sometimes those unexpected outcomes lead to amazing adaptations. Take the ALU element, a type of transposon found over a million times in the human genome.
Over a million times. These ALU elements really know how to make themselves at home.
They certainly do. And their presence has had a profound impact on our evolution.
Okay, so we've got these transposons creating a bit of chaos in our DNA, but also contributing to evolution along the way. It makes you wonder, are they a force for good or just troublemakers looking for a good time?
That's a great question, and one that scientists are still grappling with. But one thing is for sure, our cells have evolved ways to keep these transposons in check.
Wait, keep them in check. You're saying our cells have learned to control these jumping genes. Tell me more about this. It's like our cells are playing a high-stakes game of keep away with these jumping genes.
In a way, yes. Our cells have developed some pretty ingenious methods for keeping these transposons under control. One way is by silencing them, essentially turning down the volume on their activity.
So it's like our cells are saying, all right, party's over, for now time to chill out.
Exactly. It's all about maintaining a balance between stability and change. Too much transposon activity could be detrimental, but so could too little. Remember, they do play a role in evolution.
That's right. We can't forget about our inner evolutionary dance party. This has been an incredible journey, learning about these somatic mutations and jumping genes. It really changes how we think about DNA, doesn't it?
It certainly challenges the traditional view of a static genome. What we're seeing is that our DNA is incredibly dynamic and responsive to its environment, constantly changing and adapting throughout our lives. This has huge implications for how we understand everything, from disease to the very process of evolution itself.
So what does this all mean for us, the everyday folks walking around with these ever-changing genomes?
It means we're far more complex than we ever imagined. Each of us is a product, not just of the genes we inherited, but also of the countless genetic changes that have happened in our cells throughout our lives. It's a humbling and awe-inspiring thought.
It really is. It makes you realize that even at the smallest level, life is in constant motion, constantly evolving. This idea that our DNA is this fixed blueprint is out the window. So are these jumping genes just selfish actors, hitching a ride on our DNA, or are they part of some grand evolutionary plan?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that scientists are still debating. Are transposons merely genetic parasites? Or are they an essential part of evolution's toolkit, driving innovation and adaptation over millions of years? It's a question that highlights just how much more there is to discover about the hidden workings of our own DNA.
I think I'll never look at my DNA the same way again. Well, on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the dynamic world of somatic mutations and jumping genes. It's been a wild ride through the ever-changing landscape of our own cells.
Until next time. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and remember, there's always more to discover.
And who knows what other surprises are hidden within our own DNA, just waiting to be uncovered. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.